Steven, do you know what I like best about sitting down every week to do the show?
Tell me, Linda.
Well, in addition to knowing I'll get to see you and Glenn and our producers, I get to see so many fantastic people who come and do the show with us. People inside NPR, your Audie Cornish, your Sam Sanders, your Barry Hardiman, your Marissa LaRusso, but also lots of people outside NPR, Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings from The Nod, Tobin Lowe and Kathy Tu from Nancy, Aisha Harris from The New York Times. And we added a bunch of new people this year.
We did.
And it takes time to reach out to those people, find places for them to record. If they're not here in D.C., it takes time to keep track of what they're interested in, what they might want to talk about. And that's one of the many things that we ask our producers to do for us. And it's one of the many things that you can support by going to donate.npr.org/happy and supporting your local station.
That also pays for our producers to cut the show and post the show and keep our increasingly complicated calendar up to date. It's a ton of logistics. And donating pays for all of our production, which is a good amount of work, even when we're just goofing around.
Yeah, maybe especially when we're just goofing around. So head over to donate.npr.org/happy and help us keep inviting new voices to share this show with us and so we can share them with you.
The Mandalorian is the highest profile and most expensive original series to debut on the Disney streaming service. Sorry, High School Musical, the musical, the series. Set in the Star Wars universe, soon after the fall of the Galactic Empire, it follows a behelmeted, be-armored bounty hunter played by Pedro Pascal. He goes rogue to protect the most memeable thing to hit the Star Wars universe since Han shot first. I'm Glenn Weldon. We're talking about The Mandalorian and Baby Yoda on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. With me in the studio today is Mallory Yu. She's the movie editor for All Things Considered here at NPR. Hey, Mallory.
Hey there.
Also with us is NPR White House reporter Aisha Roscoe. Hi, Aisha.
Hello.
This is not what you would normally be doing today.
No, but this is so much more happy, and it's not a somber occasion like other things I'm covering.
That's good. And finally, joining us from New York is Daisy Rosario, who is an executive producer at Stitcher. Glad to have you, Daisy.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
All right, going to set the table right now with some blue milk. The Mandalorian was created by Jon Favreau, actor, not podcaster, and he's writing 6 of the 8 episodes. It stars Pedro Pascal, as we mentioned, as one of a race of fierce warriors who have been scattered throughout the galaxy and now live in the shadows. He takes a job to bring in a bounty, which turns out to be, and if you've been on social media the past few weeks, you know this already, a really just aggressively cute, I would say militantly cute, infant of whatever species Yoda is. Now, this is not our first Mandalorian at the rodeo. The original trilogy's Boba Fett was a Mandalorian. And over the years, there's been a lot written about Mandalorians in the so-called expanded universe of books and comics, etc. But in 2014, when Disney bought the franchise, and with the new Star Wars trilogy on the horizon, Lucasfilm said all of that material is now non-canonical, and kind of dubbed it Star Wars Legends. Now, that is a gross oversimplification, but there's a lot more to it. But the most important thing is we're kind of going into this series with a blank slate. So, Daisy, what'd you think, Mandalorian?
I was really pleasantly surprised, honestly. I thought it was a lot of fun. It starts with some action. I won't say what happens, but it starts with some action. So it does at least pull you in right away. And I'm sure we're all going to want to say some things about Baby Yoda or Yoda Baby or whatever you want to call the incredibly cute thing that is puppet. Yeah. I'm somebody who's generally very averse to spoilers, in part just because I have the kind of memory that like will hook on to certain things. So I'm just like, please don't tell me because I will remember it and I will be thinking about it even if I do not want to. So I say that to say that just even knowing about Baby Yoda is a bit of a spoiler in and of itself that is unavoidable, clearly, at this point with how much everyone has run with their love and affection for how cute it is. But when it first shows up, even though I knew how cute it was, I yelped in my apartment. I said to my cat, I was like, oh my God, it's still so cute. I knew it was coming and it manages to be so freaking cute. And so the stories itself, you know, we watched the first 4 episodes. There's more to come in the season, but it dives in right away with the action. And I feel like so far the storytelling is interesting. And it also just seems to me like I don't have kids, but as I have a 14-year-old sister, it feels like real family content in that way that so many things, I think, get parsed by age. I can see people who are fans of kind of like Westerns and things like that, and people who are fans of Star Wars going like, here's a genre thing that I can watch with my kids, and they won't get all those points of reference, but they'll understand why they're compelled by the cuteness of Baby Yoda.
Sure. It seems like it is settling more into a Western mode as it goes along. I mean, it started with a very Western thing. A guy walks into a bar, things happen. It seems to be kind of adopting those contours more rigorously as it goes along. What do you think, Aisha?
I really liked it. And I am not some huge Star Wars fan girl. Like, I know of it. Obviously, you can't escape it in pop culture. And I've seen the newer movies. But, like, my husband and my son, they know it, right? Like, I mean, my son was immediate. He's six, and he was like, Boba Fett or whatever, like, when he started talking about it. And I was like, what? Who are you? Okay. So they're very into it. But I enjoyed it just as I just love, fantasy, another world. And I did feel very invested in it. Even though you have this character, the lead character, Mando, how do you see emotion?
Right.
At times. And so the only thing that I felt from it was at times I wondered about the stakes. And did I feel like, are there actually stakes here? I don't know that, especially in the first four episodes, we don't know the stakes, and we don't know if there's something that's really going to come to really put pressure on the scenarios that are kind of playing out.
Right. We should mention, and we did briefly, that the Mandalorian, the main character, we called him Behelmeted because he never takes his helmet off. And that's what you're referring to. Where do you get this emotion from?
Yeah.
Because Pascal is playing it kind of like a laconic, gunfighter, drifter kind of guy.
Yes. Yeah.
So he doesn't throw a lot of emotion into his voice, which puts a lot of pressure on pretty much everybody else.
Yes. Yeah. And that whole helmet thing. And like, how does he eat? That was in my notes. I had my notebooks. How does this work with this helmet?
Because they never take their helmets off in front of other people, I worry about the Mandalorian as a species, about their skincare regimen. I mean, I think there must be so much oil underneath.
Yes.
I immediately thought of the skin. Yes. And just like shaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting to the crux, finding the crux eventually, yes. Now, Mallory, you're more a hard science girl, right? Because you love The Expanse, which I think of as more hard science than this, which has a lot of fantasy elements. What do you think?
My love of science fiction comes from Star Wars.
Okay.
Like, I love the space opera and living in the world of Star Wars. I was always going to be predisposed to liking this show at the very least because I want to stay in this world and I like being in this world. I like the lore and I like seeing characters popping out or references to characters that I only know about because I read about them in a comic book. I think Pedro Pascal is doing with the limits that he has. I mean, even with a helmet, even with sort of that laconic flat affect in his voice, I still feel like I know what he's feeling or what he's about to do, what he's thinking. I think his body language really comes across and I enjoy watching him on the screen, even though I can't see his face, which normally would really bother me.
Right. Yeah.
I also really love Gina Carano, who plays Cara Dune.
Mm-hmm.
She shows up, she kicks a lot of butt. I'm probably biased, but she looks like someone who, as Twitter likes to say, could step on me.
Yeah.
And I like that. the pace is a little slower,
right,
I think, than I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's part of the genre it's using as influence. There are a lot of sort of slow, lingering shots of empty landscapes and windmills and things. But if I were keeping up with this week by week,
right,
I might find like the pace was a little too slow to keep me really invested, as opposed to binging, four or five episodes at once, which
sure
is what I did and I really liked.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, this corner of the Star Wars universe, rogues, bounty hunters, wretched hive of scum and villainy, that corner is not necessarily the one that I respond to most because I like the Jedis and the lightsabers and the Force lightning. I like the magic stuff. But the thing about any Star Wars property is if you just hang out long enough, they might make a whole big thing about, oh, no, this is grim and gritty and grubby.
Yeah.
Eventually, the magic happens.
Yep.
I mean, it's part of the warp and weft
it's
of this
in
universe.
The world.
It's in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to it every week. Past couple weeks, as I mentioned, it's not so much evoking Western genre. It is being a Western. I think Star Wars always works best when it is evoking, tweaking, paying homage to, synthesizing a bunch of different kind of staples of various genres instead of simply presenting them, which is what it's doing here.
I agree. I like Westerns, but I didn't grow up with Westerns as kind of part of my movie canon. It's mm-hmm. not something that I grew up watching and loving with my parents because my dad is an immigrant. So for me, it almost looks old. It feels retro right. in a way.
But, you know, I think this is interesting for me because I always hated Westerns growing up.
Same.
But, and so now I'm like, well, now I'm like starting to rethink it because I do like I like this. Because always when I was growing up, I did feel like they were too slow and I just didn't get, you know, my stepfather was always watching these Westerns. And I would be like, why are we sitting here watching them and walking around in the dust? And just like, going to but this, I do feel like, I feel like there are enough connections there, like human connections, or not necessarily human, because they're not all the species aren't humans.
Sure.
And you get some, like, fun here and there, and yeah.
Yeah, there are fun yeah. moments when yeah. the Mandalorian gets to play off of other characters.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Daisy, yeah. what do you make of the Western aspect of the Mandalorian?
I think it's interesting because I am also someone who didn't grow up with it, and if you ask me, you know, I love film. I know a lot about different genres. Western is one of the genres I don't know as well. I think when I saw, for example, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, as I was sitting there watching it, I was like, there are references in this that I know I'm not getting because I know Tarantino enough to know the types of things that he pulls from. I feel like a show like this is pulling more from obvious tropes that I've experienced through the larger pop culture osmosis and sure. the aspects that I do know. So I, in that sense, I could like recognize it. But I think the length of it also plays into that for me. I think in general, this is the kind of show that I will wait to binge because of how short the episodes are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're around 30 minutes. So, you know, not as much happens in them as would happen in an hour-long drama. And so in that sense, I feel like I'm being eased into it. I'm like, oh, okay, these are the parts of this I recognize. And then I know Star Wars really well. So I'm able to kind of fill that in. So to me, it's like enough of that without feeling like I'm going to be put off by the parts of the genre that I just don't get or know as well.
Right. I mean, yeah, you mentioned there are slow parts, there are action parts. I would say there are missions and there are cutscenes because this is so clearly a video game. As many people have mentioned,
yeah.
you come back from a mission, you get a choice to get a signet on your armor or to upgrade your armor.
yeah.
You
yes,
unlock
yeah.
a new ability. Yeah. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is just so straight down the middle.
yeah.
But I mean, this is fun. And I think we're getting, yeah. actually, I think we're getting a lot more of that in culture, a lot more of things that feel like video games where yeah. everything is kind of blending together. Of course, it's not just a video game. It's also, you know, a samurai film.
Yeah.
It's if you know the manga mm-hmm. Lone Wolf and Cub, that dynamic between Mando and Baby Yoda mm-hmm. is very similar. But we're also getting a lot of very weird good. I'm not saying weird bad. I'm saying weird mm-hmm. good cameos
yes,
from actors
yes.
I love who I would never expect to see in the Star Wars universe. Taika Waititi, of course, he's there. He's kind of Thor adjacent. He's also yes. actually going to be directing the finale, but ooh. He played that assassin robot guy.
Yes.
Amy Sedaris.
I squinted at the screen and was like, is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Same.
You just draw some eyebrows like, on the screen and you're there. Yeah. There she is. Oh, that's her.
But I was really pleasantly yeah. surprised. I love seeing actors that I know in Star Wars, and she's one that I really like, and
yeah.
it was just really fun.
Yeah, okay. I have some thoughts about Werner Herzog, 77 hell-damn-ass years old. He directed A Gear of the Wrath of God and Fitzcarraldo, dozens of features, dozens of documentaries. He's mounted dozens of operas, mm-hmm. and you make him say, I hear you was the best bounty hunter in the Parsec. And you're like,
yeah.
Parsec? The identity puck is incomplete. We only have his fob. And you're like, don't make him say fob. Guys, this man.
I mean, come on, Glenn. If you had the opportunity to make Werner Herzog say Parsec, wouldn't you?
This is just a thing that I have to get over, right? Because if I can get over Robert Redford saying Hail Hydra, I can
right.
get over Werner Herzog saying fob.
I mean, the thing with him being on The Mandalorian is that I can't stop thinking about all of the articles that have been written about Werner Herzog being in The Mandalorian. So, you know, when he showed up for the first time, I thought, oh, that's Werner Herzog. And then when Baby Yoda shows up, I just can't stop thinking about being on that set when Werner Herzog sees that little puppet for the first time and starts crying.
Yeah.
My
like,
goodness.
What would that have been like? Mine is,
I'm sure.
I would love to have witnessed that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. And it's funny, too, because of how huge Star Wars is in our shared pop culture. And, you know, I don't really watch trailers anymore. I try to just keep away from the chatter and the lead up because there's just too much information and people are so obsessed. And so I didn't know that Werner Herzog was in it or anything related to it until I started seeing the articles that were like, he told them to keep the puppet and he cried because it was so beautiful. And these things that are so funny. Like, they're just so interesting. He's just such an interesting person. I can't think of, you know, people that have had probably two more interesting careers than Werner Herzog and Amy Sedaris. So, yeah, the cameos in this are just fascinating. And then just such an interesting press, you know, circle around that to be able to go like, yes, Werner Herzog convinced them. They thought about CGI and, you know, he told them, don't be cowards or something like that, which is amazing.
Well, he was right.
He was right.
Yes, he was. Right. He was. Spoke for the people.
And Baby Yoda, we stand a legend.
Yes.
We stand a Star Wars legend. Let's talk about the puppeteering, though, because there is a scene. Aisha, there's a scene when the Mandalorian is flying with Baby Yoda, and Baby Yoda reaches over to press a button, and then he gets corrected, and then he reaches over, press a button again, and then this is such good puppeteering, and it's old school puppeteering. It's Muppeteering. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It is such good puppet acting.
Yeah. That was the thing with me. Like, I didn't even realize it. I hadn't, like, been reading a lot about The Mandalorian. And so when I saw it, I was like, I knew that it was a puppet because people had been saying, had been speculating that's why people are so connected to it. I just know that it looked amazing. And that's what I was thinking during that scene. This is why you deal with them, even though they're annoying, because you look at their face and you're like, oh, I'm going to just deal with you.
I know, you're so cute.
But I love Muppets. So the idea of like having this puppet that is so amazing and just has so rich and the emotion that it gives, it's amazing that you can get that. And if you can get that from puppets, I think they need to do more puppets.
Yes.
I'm constantly talking about physical props. I love physical props. Yes. I think puppets just add so much dimension and weight physically on the screen. You know, when he picks up the puppet, it looks like he's picking something up with weight, and you feel that it is real. You know, the Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, not Yoda, can interact with each other, and the puppeteer can control those movements to respond to what the Mandalorian or Pedro Pascal is doing. And I like that. I think that there's an energy and a weight in seeing something physical that actors can then relate to.
Yep. Daisy, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's just so cute. And it's not just that it is cute. I think, you know, to your point, Aisha, it's cute in that way where you want to protect it. It's cute in that way where it's charming. I think, you know, one problem with CGI often, you know, it ages poorly and the emotions aren't necessarily there. And I mean, obviously we've gotten a lot better to be out of the uncanny valley and such, but it feels so real. And that just adds so much more to it. And there's so much more to the use of Baby Yoda than even the memes would bring you to know, which I have to say was very exciting, actually.
Agreed.
Okay, final question, lightning round. Will we see his face in the final episode of this season? You go ahead, Mallory. Pedro Pascal, Mallory.
I want to say yes, because how can you cast Pedro Pascal and not see his face?
So that's a yes from you.
That's a yes from me. I hope I'm seeing him.
Okay, Aisha?
I say no or no and a half, and like maybe they'll take it off and you just see the back of his head.
Ah.
I almost feel like you need to save that longer than just the end of the first season.
Okay.
Like it's a really world-breaking
It would be a huge deal.
All right.
Yeah.
Daisy, where do you come down?
I think that we probably will see it, but I think we'll see it in private. You know, I mean, we do know what the actor looks like, so I feel like they'll show us something. I also say that because of some of the dialogue, just some of the things that are said to the character. I'm like, we're gonna see this. I don't know that we'll see it with other people, though, right away.
Daisy is right, everybody. Daisy is right that we will see it, and we'll see it in private. All right, so tell us what you think about The Mandalorian. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, it will be time to talk about what's making us happy this week, so do come right back.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour and the following message come from Green from Amex. Always on the lookout for the latest trends? From your local bubble tea joint to off-the-beaten-path brewery tours, Green from Amex can help you discover more. With 3x points on restaurants and travel, including transit like taxis, ride shares, ferry rides, and subway swipes. It's built around your lifestyle, so you can keep doing you with an extra boost of confidence. Learn more at americanexpress.com/greenfromamex. Terms apply.
Support also comes from The RealReal, the leading reseller for authenticated luxury consignment. Consign men's and women's luxury fashion, fine jewelry, watches, art, and home. The RealReal offers free white glove service, in-store drop-off, or from-home shipping. Think sustainably. Consign with The RealReal today and earn up to 85% commission. This month, receive site credit when you consign 10 or more items. Authentic, sustainable luxury. Only at TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week. What's making us happy this week? Mallory, what is making you happy this week?
All right, so what's making me happy this week is pretty on topic. It's Star Wars Resistance Reborn by Rebecca Roanhorse. It's one of the newest Star Wars book that was just published. It takes place between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker as the Resistance deals with the fallout from The Last Jedi and sort of how they get to where they are in Rise of Skywalker. It's making me happy, and I chose it because, gosh, it's just so much fun. Like I said before, I want to spend every moment that I can in space, and I love the Star Wars world, but I really loved how Roanhorse, the writer, sort of brings us backstory of characters that I loved and didn't know as much about, like Wedge Antilles, you know, expanding his backstory and his role since the last films. We see Poe Dameron, everyone's favorite Resistance fighter pilot, having to deal with the consequences of his actions in The Last Jedi. And I think it really helped me kind of come back around to his character, which really started to irritate me in the last movie. And I appreciated that in this book, you kind of see his character grow a little bit more. And it made me even more excited for the upcoming film, which I'm sure was the point.
Uh-huh. Exactly the point. Absolutely. All right. Good pick. Aisha, what's making you happy this week?
Well, so what's making me happy this week is something that I've really come back to after not, you know, just getting busy with life and work and all these things. I haven't been able to follow my real passion, which is Real Housewives. And I really love Real Housewives of Atlanta, but I did not even get to watch last season. But I had a little bit of time, and so I have just started. I was like, I'm going to start back watching, get back into this new season. And it's just great. I mean, these are people that I've watched them over the years. Mm-hmm. What's amazing to me about Real Housewives of Atlanta is that so much time has passed that you have people that have gotten into fights and now they are having kids and living life together. Mm-hmm. And I just love to see the ebb and flow of the relationships, and then relationships break down. Nene and Cynthia are going after it. They used to be best friends. I just love it. And it's just a way to get into like something that's really in many ways political and like the of friendships and things like that without dealing with actual politics.
Right.
So just get into some fun ratchet TV, which I really enjoy.
Okay. So. Interpersonal politics.
Interpersonal like politics. Yes.
Or drama.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So Daisy, what is making you happy this week?
So the main thing that's making me happy is that I finally got a TV in my bedroom. I stopped listening to, you know, all the voices that were like, that's not a thing that you should do because other people say that you should, you know, turn off all the lights and stuff. No, I love watching a movie in bed. So I just finally did it and I sucked it up. And I've gone down this rabbit hole that I am obsessed with, which is I cannot stop watching Murder, She Wrote on Amazon. I didn't grow up with it. I mean, I was aware of it, but I had never really watched it. And then the comedian Cristela Alonso, she kept tweeting about how much she loved Jessica Fletcher at one point. So I finally decided to watch it. And I gotta say, I love me some Jessica Fletcher.
Uh-huh.
I am fully on board with it. It's such a, you know, simple premise, but it's fun. I love getting to, you know, just see 80s TV, but she's just a great character in how, you know, she has clear boundaries and just the way that she kind of, you know, sasses people back in a subtle way. It's just, it's a lovely way to unwind in these difficult days at the end of the day. Just a little mystery that I know will be solved, but I've already powered through the whole first 5 seasons and I'm guys, I'm withdrawing a little bit. I need my Jessica Fletcher fix.
All right, so Daisy Rosario with the classic series that could also be called I didn't do it, Aunt Jess. All right. What is making me happy this week is something that is on Netflix's YouTube channel, okay? The world is just getting more complicated. And I'm going to just have to start throwing my tapioca at it because I just can't keep straight. Netflix's YouTube channel. Okay. There's a web series called I Like to Watch. It's essentially a series of commercials. Really, at its heart, it's a series of commercials for various Netflix original movies. But it's hosted by the drag queens Trixie Mattel and Katya, who are bringing the same easy noise. They're bringing the same chemistry that they brought to their web series, which is just impossible to Google. They sit and they watch Netflix movies. They comment on them. That's it. That's the tweet. It's edited down to the best 10 minutes, which is a very smart thing for them to do. And it's not edited for language, but edited for time. So if you have young kids and they like drag queens, this is happening more and more, just be aware that they both work blue. There are three episodes up already. Start with the one where they watch the episode of Dolly Parton's Heartstrings called Two Doors Down, and you will not be disappointed.
Oh my goodness, this sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful.
That's going on the top of my list.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I love those two.
Yes. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can find me at G.H. Weldon. You can follow Mallory at Mallory_U. That's Y-U. You can follow Daisy Rosario at RunDMR. You can follow Aisha at AYESHARASCOE. You can follow our producer Jessica Reedy at Jessica_Reedy and our producer Emmanuel at Emmanuel_Speaks. You can find our producer emeritus and music director Mike Katziff at Mike Katziff, that's K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band, Hello Come In, provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now, or maybe you're not. I don't know your life. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please remember to donate to your local station at donate.npr.org/happy. You have all been doing this, and it's been amazing, and we are so grateful. But we need to crush the wait-waits and the it's-been-a-minutes of the world.
Yeah.
We need to crush them and see them driven before us and hear the lamentations of their loved ones. Now, Up First Politics in Shortwave, which is coming up very fast, those are daily. They have huge audiences. We're not going to beat them. That's a pipe dream. But let's you and I focus on the abject humiliation of Peter Sagal and Sam Sanders. So seriously, if you can, donate.npr.org/happy, and we will see you all next week.
Who dropped the most memorable album or song in 2019? Was it Lil Nas X, Lizzo, Billie Eilish, or maybe someone you've never heard of? I'm Robin Hilton. Join NPR Music as we look back at the defining trends and artists of 2019. Listen on All Songs Considered with new episodes each week.